Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I got a woman to give me $50 because I told her I was Mike Sweeney and she believed me.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We haven't yet gotten robot umps, nor have we gotten robot guests, so we'll keep taking the ones that keep picking up the phone. David Leskey on the show with us now. You can follow him on Twitter at DB Leskey and go read his newsletter on Substack, insidethecrown.substack.com. We'll get you straight there, plus the link in his bio on Twitter.
I get so excited. Like, I genuinely read. I've read every Substack so far. I get very excited when I see that in my email. I'm like, you know what? I'm excited to, like, sit down and read this.
That's also great because, Leskey, I don't know if you know this, Rudy has read all of your Inside the Crown newsletters. I haven't read any of them, so we balance out perfectly.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I actually, you've had a guest on before who told me that he read everything, and then literally like 4 days ago I seen an email come in that with his email that he just subscribed. So I was like, wait a minute, hang on. You just subscribed, but you read it every day. Interesting. I'm not going to name names.
Drop the name, Leskey!
Is it me?
No.
Thank God.
I was going to say his initials are the suffix for a doctor, his initials, an MD.
Wow, Matt Derrick's a fraud. Matt Derrick's a fraud! Who would have seen that coming? Rudy, you at least have an easy podcast title for this hour, which is David Leskey Calls Matt Derrick a Fraud. That ought to be pretty good for our numbers. Got to get those
clicks. I'm just saying. I saw it come through, and I was like, yeah, you know what, Matt? Next time we play poker, I'm not going easy on you anymore.
Well, clearly his poker...
Calling out that bluff.
Clearly his poker... Well, that's a good point. Clearly his poker face, at least on radio, is pretty good there, because he just lied straight to your ears.
I was not able to read his bluff through Twitter. That is accurate.
Wow.
Maybe it was a text. I can't remember. Either way.
You can also, you know, listen, I think you should subscribe so it goes to your email every day, but you can if you'd like to just peruse it right now. You go to insidethecrown.substack.com. Maybe Matt just has that as his homepage and just reads them all from within the site.
That's a good point.
But I will say, too, it's 50% off right now, so it's half of free.
That's incredible. I get a refund for my half of free that I paid as an entry level subscriber?
No, this is a new subscriber only.
Okay, I'm going to unsubscribe and resubscribe, and I'm going to get half off of free.
That's fair.
You can go to insidethecrown.substack.com to subscribe, or bit.ly. Hold on, I'm pretty sure it's Lesky Hates Bobby Witt. Yep, there it is. Still works. bit.ly/LeskyHatesBobbyWitt or insidethecrown.substack.com.
Anyway, is it Bobby Witt or Bobby Witt Jr.? Because I don't know his dad at all. This is unfair if you say I hate his dad.
You might. I don't know that you don't.
That's fair. Okay.
Bobby Witt Sr., let's see here. So, I mean, he was in the 2001 World Series with the Diamondbacks. So he's got a ring? What?
Good for him.
Is that right?
He did play with the Diamondbacks. I forgot about that.
He played in the majors for 16 years.
I mean, he was number 3 overall pick. It's not like he was a scud.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
He walked a
lot of guys.
3 of his first 4 years in the big leagues, he led the majors in walks. He had 143 wow. His first year
in the big leagues. Rudy, have you led the majors in anything in your life?
I haven't.
No. You know what I found out today? That Albert Pujols leads the major leagues in. Do you know the answer to this? You might.
This year?
No, all time.
All time.
All time.
All time. He's second in RBIs.
He is the all-time leading blank in hitting in the double plays.
Yeah.
Ding! We don't have a sound effect, but if we did, it would go ding just now. we were looking at... this is a weird place that I just pretty frequently get sort of sucked down this particular rabbit hole. As someone who is oftentimes, you know, feuding with the very sport, the very essence of baseball, I occasionally fall back in love with the mid to late 2000s era of baseball. And Albert Pujols, obviously released today, DFA'd today by the Angels. He's 41 years old. Barry Bonds, in his age 42 season, which was his last season, had an OBP of 480.
I know.
Albert Pujols never had an OBP of 480.
Bonds was... I mean, it was incredible. And don't forget, that last season was not by his choice.
Right.
He would have kept playing, but he got blackballed. So
That's the crazy thing is, like, there is a world in which he played into at least his mid-40s pretty well. Like, his OBP his last year was 4. Are you hearing me? He got on base half the times he was at the plate at age 42.
I remember, what year was that? Was that 07.
Yeah, he was also an all-star that year, by the way.
I remember, like, when he wasn't signed into spring training, you started to hear, and I'm sure it was every city, of, well, maybe the Royals should sign Barry Bonds.
We talked about this. Me and Josh talked about this in a break because I was like, I think I remember there being rumors, because I was probably, I was in high school at the time. I remember thinking to myself, I think there were rumors about the Royals and Barry Bonds, maybe.
I don't know if it was rumors. I remember something about that, but looking back, I kind of wonder, was it just a lot of people asking if they should sign him, and then that became a rumor? I don't know. But I remember them it being talked about regularly. Because I feel like they signed Gil Mesh, Greinke had come back, and I think that they were kind of like, well, we got two good pitchers, so why not sign Barry Bonds? Which I don't think it would have worked.
I would have loved it.
A lot of guys finish their career with the Royals. Like Harmon Killebrew finished his career with the Royals. Why not Barry Bonds? Come on. They should sign him now.
I was literally just thinking, what do you think Barry Bonds could give to a major league team right now? You give him a little time to get into prime Barry Bonds shape. You find the right, you know, needles for his butt.
He's obviously not succeeding.
If they're going to sign Escobar, they can sign Barry Bonds.
This is a great point.
Yeah, he's obviously not succeeding as his prime, but he's giving you at least a 410 on base percentage.
Yeah, an absolute scrub.
At least.
Absolute scrub. Also, he on average per season grounded into 9 double plays. Like
he never hit the ball on the ground.
It's unbelievable, man.
Oh, it's like Salvador Perez was hitting a ton of double plays up until last season. He's hit like what, two or three since last year? Because he stopped hitting the ball on the ground. Yeah. I mean, pretty simple. You don't ground into double plays if you don't ground into anything. So that's the philosophy, and it's working for him.
I'm trying to pull up the intentional walk record again. Here it is. Albert Pujols is
like
second place.
Like 114 or something in that one year for Bonds.
Let's see. Season high, 120. That was in 2004. He was 39. He was 30 effing 9 years old. When Albert Pujols was 39, he hit 244. That could have been worse, actually. But still, like, are you kidding me?
But that wasn't even the year he got intentionally walked with the bases loaded multiple times.
It's unbelievable, dude.
I know.
All time, welcome to the Barry Bonds Hour with David Leske. You can go to,
I miss him.
You can go to BarryBonds.substack.com. So I'm just going to give you, I'll give you 4-1 here because the fourth name is worth mentioning. Intentional walks, okay? Fourth place, Hank Aaron had 293. Third place, Stan Musial had 298. Second place, Albert Pujols has 313. First place, Barry Bonds has 688.
It's crazy.
He's got 2 and 3 combined by a lot.
That guy was good.
He was good at baseball. Do we talk about that enough?
I want to be the first to say Barry Bonds was a good baseball player.
It's incredibly brave of you.
Yeah.
I'm
throwing it out there.
I almost just got sucked into a conversation I really have actually no interest in having. But like I almost just sort of spat out he needs to be in the Hall of Fame, which is true for me. But like I don't really want to have that radio segment, but how is he not? I don't know. Do you have an opinion? You love baseball on a level that I could see you having some confliction there, but I really don't know.
No, I don't have any confliction. Look, the Hall of Fame, we can leave it at this, but let me just say it. The Hall of Fame is about what happened on the field. Mm-hmm. If he shouldn't have been allowed to play or whatever, then they should have taken him off the field at the time and not allowed him to put those stats. He did it. He should be in there.
Here's my new question. I'm going to have to mix sports a little bit, but to your knowledge, Leske, did Barry Bonds ever murder two people?
I do not believe he Ray Lewis did, no.
Well, I was going to say OJ, but I mean...
Oh, OJ.
There's
yeah.
a lot of examples. Aaron Hernandez.
There are. Well, Aaron Hernandez is in the Hall of Fame, fair. Rudy. OJ is a Hall of Famer, and rightfully so.
Ray Lewis only murdered one person.
That's
so
a great point. We got to get that fact.
You're right.
Allegedly.
I apologize, Ray Lewis.
You know what? I would say just watch your back, or else maybe he's gonna try to tie OJ. I don't know, man. I don't want that heat for you.
Look, if I don't answer the phone next week, you know where I am.
Under Ray Lewis's house? I don't know. I don't know where you are. Is that what?
Well, you know where I'm not, and it's at my house apparently.
All of this to avoid talking about the Royals. How bad the last five games went.
Let's talk about anything else.
Sure, let's talk about Angel Hernandez.
What'd you have for lunch today?
You know, Angel Hernandez is what I had for lunch.
Okay.
I have obviously now, my whole brand at this point is, you know, let's digitize everything. If I can get a self-driving car, I'll take it. If I can get microchips, you know, if my COVID vaccine didn't have enough microchips in it, I'll take extras that you've got so I can shoot lasers out of my fingers or I can type without a phone in my hand, whatever. I'm here for all of it. Make me a cyborg. But obviously, robo-umps, clearly a big topic right now. So I'd like to run at least my new acronym past you to try to get some more public support for it.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to call them automated necessary gaffe evaluation litigators. And the tagline here now is an angel behind every plate. I feel like there's no drawback to this.
Well, I mean, the only drawback, of course, is that people will maybe mistake it and think that Angel Hernandez is behind the plate,
Yeah, that hadn't crossed my mind. That's really
his knowledge. Leske.
Yeah.
But to his knowledge,
it's a good note.
He believes that people buy tickets to see him. So I think that, you know, in his mind, he's like, yes, this is the way to solve the declining attendance in baseball.
Yeah.
Just put me in every game. And I think, look, robots can be really lifelike now. I think we need to design them all to look just like Angel Hernandez.
Such
a good idea.
Can half of them look like Joe West?
Well, yeah, but then we got C.B. Buckner, too. I mean, there's a few guys. So we need a whole crew, right? You need four guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they can all – who's the – Phil Cousy, maybe, I think. could be number four. There's some options, but you're right. Those two for sure, Joe West and Angel Hernandez, are two definite prototypes. And then there's a handful of others we can talk about for the other two.
Just looking at Joe West just makes me happy. Joe West looks like a Mr. Potato Head came to life.
Did you know he's a country singer?
Yes, yeah. I did.
He's a country Joe.
I wish you wouldn't have turned my my excellent Mr. Potato Head joke into mashed potatoes quite so quickly there, Rudy. You could have given me a second. You'd at least scallop them.
At least let you get the joke out.
Potato Head, by the way.
This was all
great
bleeped
point.
Up. This is all. It's not a great point. This was all a media mishandling. You can't trust the media. Anyway, I knew I had the joke in my head. I knew there was a chance that was going to come around. I should have known that Rudy was going to try to cut off the end of the joke. And it's just, you know, this is the life that I lead. Have you ever seen Mike Matheny get that mad?
not as a Royal. You know, it's funny because I think at first he was like, look, you're really bad at your job, sir. And I, for one, do not enjoy this. And then he went back to the dugout. And then Cal Eldred was like, hey, yeah, you're really, really bad at your job. And that was the end of it for Angel Hernandez. And then Mike Matheny was like, you know what? You're even worse than I said before. So bully to you. And then they were both gone. And then a couple batters later, Brady Singer, I think he thought that they were like jousting on American Gladiators or something.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I don't know that I've definitely never seen Cal Eldred explode like that.
Yeah, right.
I really want to know what he thought Angel Hernandez missed twice. Because if you watch the video, he's got two fingers and he just flashed them in his face like four times. And I don't know if it's got to be more than two bad ball and strike calls, because he had at least 58 of those. Was it the Bach calls, like the Daniel Lynch one and Brady Singer? I just need to know what the two meant. What two was he referring to? And we'll never know.
Yeah, there's got to be a field mic somewhere, right? Especially like I know Kaufman's more full now, but there's got to be a mic somewhere. There's got to be a Bally Sports. No one will have any way of seeing it or hearing it ever, of course. But there's got to be a Bally Sports SD card somewhere that has that audio on it.
Somebody knows. I don't know who it is, but somebody has heard it. You're right.
You know what? Actually, I just realized they may be airing that in full on Bally Sports. Just no one has any way of watching it live, and we're never going to know for that reason. Instead,
you can tune into the app, it buffered right up until the point that it was over. Sorry,
Lesky. I am one of the few fortune who is able to watch.
One of the blessed few.
Right now, maybe not, because my dad has DirecTV. And oh boy, when they switched over from the Fox Sports Go, which I was not, I didn't love to begin with, to the Bally Sports app like a week ago now, I was complaining to Josh within 30 seconds of this.
Yeah,
it is a travesty of an app.
But sorry, Lesky, hold on. I'm sorry, Lesky. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Rudy, what was that word?
I said travesty, but I didn't want a travesty. Yeah.
It was either tragedy or travesty, but
yeah.
I just wanted to know
if
you thought that
travesty
was a word. Sorry.
Can I?
Go
hang
ahead.
Hang on. First of all, I think tragedy is a great word. I think that needs to be in the dictionary. Like it.
I love it.
Second of all, I love with the app that they're like, hey, this is a new app, but we still got a little of the old stuff. And so they kept the corner of the Fox Sports
yes.
Go app behind the logo. It's like, hey, we haven't put the sticker all the way on yet.
Yeah. I can't tell if that's really smart, so people don't immediately uninstall an app they don't recognize, or if it's really stupid because you're reminding everyone of how much better it was before you got it and bleeped it all up.
I think if it was a good app, it would be smart, but because it's not, it's stupid.
Yeah.
So does that work?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay.
Yeah, really, because ultimately
that's right.
Yeah, ultimately, it's all a tragedy, for sure, but, you know.
It's huge tragedy.
Major tragedy.
You know,
one of the biggest tragedies of all time, I would say.
Top 10 tragedy. One thing that wasn't a tragedy was Danny Duffy again. I'm going to sprinkle in a little positive. He looked there were some messes, but he got out of them, generally speaking. If the offense would have been, I don't know, if they would have had a multi-base hit, then maybe this would have all felt a little bit different. But can you give me something on Danny Duffy and how you're feeling about how his season has gone so far? Because I'd like to at least be reminded of the good things in the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought Duffy looked good today.
Yeah.
I was out there, so I hadn't really had a chance to see, like, the behind-the-mound shots and see where pitches were and all that yet. But it seemed like he made a couple pitches that the Indians hit well that I don't think he was expecting that, which I don't think anybody was expecting that.
Hmm.
Like, on the Rosario triple, he mentioned it in his post-game press conference. He put it about where he wanted to put it. Rosario just went out and got it and somehow pulled it to left center. I really don't know how he did that, honestly. Like I said, I haven't seen it from the angle that might make it make sense yet, mm-hmm. but it just that seemed like one of those things that he threw a good pitch and got beat, which will happen.
Yeah.
Because these are big leaguers. Right. I mean, and I think he pitched around the leadoff double in the first really well, obviously. And the second one, there's a bloop single. Like, there are just some games that you're just not going to win. And the problem with that is that's why yesterday was so important. Tuesday was so important. Monday, because they weren't. This game was one of those games they were never going to win. It's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
But because they blew out. I was going to say a word that I shouldn't say, and then I went off the rails.
You saved it. That's better.
I did.
If you would have said a word you shouldn't have said, it would have been a real tragedy.
It was huge.
Thank you.
Because they blew a couple. They blew three games. Really. Mm-hmm. I mean. You could argue that they should have won the first three games of the series. You want to say Monday, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But they definitely should have won Tuesday and Wednesday. And they didn't, which means that when they played a game they were never going to win, it made it even worse. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And like Duffy, yeah, his ERA went up to 1.26 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think he pitched well. I just think it was one of those games that the Indians hit some good pitches. It happened. It like you said, it would have been nice if they scored some runs. Because they gave up. I mean, look, if you get three runs in 5 2/3, not a great start
mm-hmm.
from a result standpoint, but it keeps you in the game, and they were in the game. I mean, even into the ninth inning, they had 2 on and nobody out.
Yep.
Down 4. You get to a point, I mean, you're 2 batters away from tying that game, which I think we all knew was never going to happen, but it was at least possible, you know. And I just, it's frustrating. But Duffy, he looked good again. The fastball was popping. It was like 96 in the first inning. I saw a couple. He looked generally really sharp. I think the Royals, they've caught some good breaks throughout the first part of the season where they've caught teams at bad times for the other team. You know, the Blue Jays without George Springer, although. He's out again, so maybe the Blue Jays just don't have George Springer.
Mm-hmm.
But getting the Tigers when they were maybe a little bit on the ropes after that Rays series. I mean, they took a wild and crazy comeback just to not get swept in that one, and they had the luck of going to Detroit and getting to win 4 in a row. So I feel like there's some of that involved, and then they catch the Indians at maybe the worst time because the Indians, this is probably the best baseball they'll play all season.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're that good of a team. I think that they are on a crazy hot streak. They're good enough that a crazy hot streak means they can beat just about anybody. And I think the Royals caught them at the absolute worst time for the Royals. and that's just the way it's gone. But, you know, it's frustrating because I feel like you can make a really good argument that they would have won if Angel Hernandez was even remotely competent last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you could make a decent argument that they would have won on Tuesday night if he was competent. It's hard to say because the bullpen was probably going to blow out anyway. But,
right.
I mean, that ball in right center field, like, everything he did was wrong about that. And it cost
yes.
the Royals one run at least,
yeah.
probably just one. If they're up, if they have 4 instead of 3, does that change the game? We don't know, but I mean, maybe. I think you can make an argument that it does, and so that's also what's frustrating about it. The Indians are playing their best ball of the season, and the Royals were an umpire gaffe away, two umpire gaffes away from maybe splitting the series. Now, again, they didn't perform, so I'm not saying like they even after the terrible sixth inning last night, they led 4-3 and they still lost. So, you know, it's not all on that. But at the same time, probably should have been 4-1 at the end of that inning. And again, maybe things are different. Maybe Singer goes into the seventh and Barlow gets to pitch the seventh and eighth. And they don't give up the home run. You know, all this stuff. So it's frustrating. The thing that I keep coming back to, and this is the positive spin, the Los Angeles Dodgers, I don't think anybody would argue that they are the World Series favorites, right? I mean, come on. I don't doesn't matter what the record is. But they were 13-2 in the first 15 games. They're 17-15 now. Like, they're 4-13 in their last 17 games. So if anybody ever tells you, well, bad teams don't go on stretches like this, because people make absolute statements like that are stupid.
Right.
Or good teams don't go on stretches like this.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are 4-13 in their last 17 games. If anybody thinks they're not a good team, they're lying. they've got injuries. The Royals do too. Like, teams go through bad stretches, and so that's the saving grace here. They will come out of it. They get the Tigers next week, so I mean, that's good timing. If they can steal a couple wins from the White Sox this weekend, and then go to Detroit, all in a week, we're going to be talking about the team and be like, "Wow, they're back on track. They're really good."
Right.
I don't know, but you know, it's just 5-game losing streaks are the pits, and it's coming off that series in Minnesota, which was kind of weird because there wasn't a single competitive game in the three. And you know, it's just been kind of a weird stretch and a rough stretch, and one of those things that they'll get it figured out. And look, they've got Kyle Zimmer coming back at some point, theoretically. Jesse Hahn, who I know people hate, but he was so good last season. I mean, I don't think people realize how good he was last season. If he's healthy and can be like 80% of that with Zimmer back, all of a sudden the bullpen's back to a strength. It's just, I'm not ready to jump off a cliff just yet about this team. And they're still 16-14, right? They're 30 games in and they're over 500. I know. If you ask me on Sunday, they might not be over 500 anymore. Right. I mean, it's very possible that they don't win this weekend either. But things could be worse, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
The funny thing with the game tomorrow is that it's Carlos Rodon versus Brad Keller, whose ERAs are separated by more than 7 points, and that's a tough draw. But with that being said, I think the Dodgers comparison is a very, very fun one, because it gives a little bit of like a reason to take a breath, but also for me it begs the question of, we all collectively are pretty sure that the Dodgers are a good baseball team having a terrible stretch, and not that they're a bad baseball team that had a great hot start for some reason. And really, I think ultimately, again, we started the show today by me talking about the fact that baseball seasons are so bleeping long that you find out what they are by the end of the year. But right now with the Royals, I think you could probably build me an argument either way to say, hey, they're closer to what we saw in April, or they're closer to what we're seeing right now in May. Ultimately, you are the collection of all of those things, so I don't want to put you in a binary like that. But if you are leaning in one direction or another, or if you're just taking it all together, how has this stretch of these last five games or so, has it influenced what you think about the Royals in general?
I would say a little bit, only because I thought that... So when they were going through their May hot tricks, they still weren't getting a ton of innings from the starters. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that you thought, oh, it's April after a weird season. Pitchers don't go that deep in April typically, and maybe they're really trying to hold them back. And then at some point, they got to start going more innings, right? Mm-hmm. The bullpen can't handle it. That's maybe part of the reason the bullpen's been struggling a little bit, is because they've had to handle so much stress. Multiple people have mentioned to me multiple times, well, you got to pull the guy before they face the lineup a third time, no matter what. You can't. You can't do that, because the bullpen, you will literally have to sew their arms back on by August. Like, you need to have starters who can go seven innings. It's just whether or not they should, they got to do it at some point. And I thought the starters would kind of start to stretch out a little bit more, but they just haven't. And so that's concerning to me. I don't think they're the 16 and were they 16-7? No, they were 16-9 was their
correct.
Most recent high watermark.
Yep.
I don't think they're 16-9 good, but I also don't think they're 1-6 bad.
Right.
Or 1-6 of the most recent stretch. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably somewhere in between, which is kind of where they are, right?
Yeah.
That's where they've ended up over the first 30 games. I predicted 76 wins to start the season. I thought that I was going to be woefully under for a little while because I think they got probably when they were 16-9. If I were to look at the schedule and be able to wipe my memory, I probably would have looked at that and been like, "Oh, they're probably going to be 12-13 at this stretch. So that's four extra wins." But they've probably given a couple of those back now. So you know, I think that this is probably about who they are. The good news for the Royals is like they've got guys coming, right? Adalberto Mondesi, if I could say his name, he's theoretically going to go on a rehab assignment maybe next week. I mean, that's when you do that, you're 10 days to 2 weeks away. So that's fairly close. There's this guy in the minors. I can't remember his name. His dad played in the majors, too.
Yeah, and you hate his guts. Yeah, I can't remember his name either. Yeah.
I can't stand him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that long. Honestly, I mean, we're not like tomorrow, but I told Saran a couple weeks ago, my prediction was whatever the Friday night of a homestand around July 4th is, that's when I think he's coming up. That's 2 months away now. The minor league season has started. He got a hit last night. I think he's got a hit today. I think he's coming. Jackson Coar had a great start to start his season. I think he has a chance to be a really good bullpen arm right away if they want to go with that. Daniel Lynch is up. Mm-hmm. I thought his stuff looked really good on Monday. Some command issues, but we'll see. It's going to be a tough test for him on Saturday against the White Sox. But they've got reinforcements, and they're aggressive right now. And I think John Sherman's aggressive. I think Dayton Moore's aggressive. If they need something, I kind of did a cursory glance around the league of potential sellers. There's not a lot out there, first of all. But what there is, I think the Royals will, if they're in a position to make a postseason run, I think what Dayton Moore has shown us in the past is they're going to try to make a postseason run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I feel like the weaknesses are at least potentially becoming addressed slowly with guys getting healthy, and then that could happen. And look, we're 30 games in. Dayton Moore's magical 40-game mark is not far away.
Yeah.
It's next, a week from Monday is their 40th game, I think. Maybe a week from Sunday, I can't remember. But either way, it's coming up. So, you know, I think we'll start to see some moves. That's the encouraging thing. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to win 83 games or 89 games or 76 games or whatever, but I think where they are right now is probably about what they are. They got there in a weird way, but I think this is probably this is a team that you kind of felt like was going to go two games over and two games under all season long, just back and forth, and that's where they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. As far as Mondesi goes, I'm officially adopting the Kyle Shanahan perspective.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sundays.
So that's where I'm at on him. I feel like we might see Bobby Witt Jr. before we see Mondesi in a major league roster.
We might. I'm not going to discount that. It's possible. It's very possible. But I don't know. And I mean, the nice thing about the minor leagues playing, A, when the Royals are losing, you have something else to focus on, which is a huge, huge positive.
Very nice, yeah.
But B, yeah, I'm looking at Omaha, and you can start to see how they're maybe feeling about some guys. I think it's really interesting. We've seen Isbell in center and Edward Olivares in right the last couple of days. Now, I think it was reversed on their opening day the other day, but that might be a sign of things. Now, Michael A. Taylor hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire with his bat.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Hearn does not belong in the majors, so you know, there's a possibility that, hey, maybe Edward Olivares can play some right field and Jorge Soler goes back to his natural position at DH, and that improves the team. So there are quite a few options. It's Dayton Moore. We're not going to see it for a week and a half, unfortunately. But if they get swept by the White Sox, I would not be surprised to see some moves after Sunday's game. I mean, I think they're off Monday. So, you know, that could be a time you might see some things happen. But Yeah, the minor leagues are really nice because you get to actually kind of see their thought process in process.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Which we haven't gotten to see since 2019. We haven't gotten to see a minor league game until Tuesday, since September of 2019. And now we can see how would they feel about guys. I mean, Witt's playing third tonight. So is that in preparation? They said he'd play short and third, so probably not necessarily. But
I'm not sure.
Siri came on.
What does Siri think? Can we get Siri's thoughts on it?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
Thank you, Siri.
Do you think I could get Siri to have Kyle Shanahan's voice is the question.
I think we're probably not that far away. If we can get Robo-Wumps, I mean...
Can we call it Angel?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Okay. What were you going to say, Rudy?
I said there's a mod for it.
Absolutely. We can make that happen.
I just want Siri to respond with that every question I answer.
I'm trying not to set mine off here, so I'm going to stutter through it so my phone doesn't start talking to me. Hey, virtual assistant, could you set a reminder for tomorrow at 2 p.m.? I have no guarantee.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
I should have said, can you set a reminder for Sunday? But, you know.
Yeah, you really,
I can't
that,
guarantee
real,
that any.
Real tragedy.
Thank you. Yep. Excellent. The one name you mentioned that I wanted to circle back on, because we haven't talked a whole lot about any Royals this week because of when the radio show is on, is I do want to know what you thought of Lynch's start and kind of what he showed there.
Yeah, I thought he was good and bad. I thought that there were clearly nerves, especially in the first inning.
Yeah.
A couple things stood out to me. I wrote about it on whatever Tuesday, I think it was.
On Inside the Crown at insidethecrown.substack.com.
Yes, subscribe today for free.
For half off free.
He'll pay
half
you.
Half off free. That's right. What I thought was interesting, I think he tried to get a fastball over in the first two innings to start the inning, and they both got crushed. And from that point forward, three innings, obviously, but he didn't do that again. So he learned pretty quickly. He touched the stove. It was hot. He touched it again. It was still hot. And he said, you know what? I'm not touching that stove anymore, yeah. Which is that shows some intelligence. The other big thing obviously the slider was dirty. He got six swings and misses on it. You can see how it can be a plus-plus pitch in the big leagues. But what I thought was really impressive was when he needed to make those pitches that he needed to make, more often than not, he made them. He put the ball exactly where he wanted it. And what I thought that showed, you know, when you're in your big league debut, it's crazy. I can't even imagine the emotions of being on the mound, especially in front of, that was the first game of the homestand. So it was the most fans that the Coffee Stadium seen in 2 years. Mm. I mean, it was a big start.
Yeah.
And there's a lot there. And so he was amped up. But what I thought was interesting, when he got into a situation where he just had to, like, really focus on pitching and not, I'm making my big league debut, he looked like the pitching prospect we've seen in the minors and in spring training and all that. And I thought that really bodes well for future starts when he doesn't have those big league debut nerves at all. So maybe he can just pitch like that all the time. Because... You know, he had a runner on third and one out twice. And one time he scored, and it wasn't a hard hit ball, I can't remember now. And one time he strand him there. He pitched really, really well. He put the ball exactly where he needed to pretty much every time. And like he got an inning double play also, but Merrifield threw it away. So his outing would have looked even different, more different if that had happened. It's just, it's too bad he couldn't get through five. I mean, the win is a stupid stat, but it's still a stat, and it's a cool thing for a guy to get his first big league win. But also, it would have lessened the impact of the bullpen, which cost them the game ultimately. But I thought he didn't look great, but you can see why he will look great in the future, I guess, in that start. And I thought that was really it was encouraging. Now, the White Sox are a much better lineup, even without the departed Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, who I haven't seen them do a vigil for Luis Robert yet.
He's in critical condition.
Yeah, he's holding on right now, but it's not looking great.
But, I mean, they've got some right-handed power. And Lynch, his changeup has gotten better. I think it's going to be an important pitch for him on Saturday. It's a test, so I'm very curious to see how he responds to that. If he pitches poorly, it doesn't mean he sucks. it just means the White Sox are good. But if he pitches well, I think it says a lot about him. So I'm super looking forward to that.
If you want to read more about it whenever it happens and leading up to it and all sorts of things, just listen. Just go to InsideTheCrown.substack.com. It's free, okay? It's free. You can go sign up there. Don't be a big liar fraud like Matt Derrick, as Leske called out by name earlier and said that he's dead to him and, you know, will never forgive him for that terrible lie. The loss of their friendship is, in fact, a tragedy, but sometimes tragedies happen. And this show, honestly, I think, is the host of many of them in sort of a very macro sense. I'm gonna have an existential breakdown, Leske. Thank you for being here to help facilitate that.
You are very welcome. Thanks, guys.
Follow Leske on Twitter as well, at DB Leske. If we don't take a commercial break right now, there's going to be a tragedy in the studio, so we'll do that right this second.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This show's free.
It's a free show. If you don't like shows sometimes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks again to Leske for joining us. We've had two excellent conversations tonight. If you missed any of it, of course, you can always subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcast. You can just search for Almost Entirely Sports, or you can go to aes.show in your browser, and it'll give you a chance to click on, you know, links to any place you may want to get your podcasts. And you can listen through both 810whb.com and the Sports Radio 810 mobile app, where you can hear all of the podcast content we do here from Sports Radio 810.
Did I make the top two? Are like
you're not a guest. You're not a guest.
You just said we had two great conversations tonight. Did I make the top two? I'm just curious.
I think we've had our conversation.
Be brutally honest.
Our conversation not over yet. It's still continuing. We've had two great conversations. Our conversation
still going.
Started at 7. We got what, 8 minutes left?
Ends TBD.
Yeah.
No, I know. It ends at 54:09.
Well, 54:09.
Yeah, 54:09.
All right, I'll keep an eye on the clocks. One thing that Rudy and I were talking about during the break that I just love very much, it's why I cut Rudy off whenever he was halfway through the word tragedy, or before he finished his sentence.
It's a real tragedy you didn't let me finish that.
I love it whenever people just sort of like misspeaking on the radio. No big deal. We all do it. Poe Buddy's nerfect. But I love it whenever people use a phrase that they've just been using wrong their entire life. So somewhere in their 20s or 30s, or even better, just later, the later in life, the funnier it is. Because the more years you've spent just totally misunderstanding a phrase. You had one during the break, Rudy, that you mentioned.
I thought worth my wild was worth your while, like while. I'm not entirely for sure when like I realized, but I just before a majority of my life, I would say, and I guess maybe not majority. I don't remember the first time I heard.
Sure.
Majority of my adult like brain supposed to be working pretty good life. I thought it was worth your while.
When do you think you found out that it was worth your wild with it like deep?
Probably a couple years ago. I don't remember exactly when, but it's probably been at least a few years, I would say.
And you'd say that you've been using it correctly for those few years since then, yes?
Yeah, my guess is every now and then I've said, like, actually, not a guess. I know I have. It's just, like, here and there, like, said worth my while, but then, like, known immediately, no, that's
right,
wrong.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but, like, it's, like, a little bit of still, like, it's a, you know, habit, right? It's your instinct kicks in.
Go ahead and turn your mic back on.
Okay.
There are some people losing their entire minds right now. The phrase is worth your while.
Wait, what?
Yes, absolutely,
so I was
yes.
Right, and then I was wrong?
Yes.
Worth your while.
It's worth your while. If an action or I Googled it to make sure that I wasn't the idiot. And if an action or activity is worth someone's while, it will be helpful, useful, or enjoyable for them if they do it, even if it requires some effort.
Huh.
What would worth your wild even mean?
It's really worth it. Like your wildest imagination, just like short for that.
Oh, I love that.
Like it's just like it's kind of like short for that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Whoa.
Oh, I love that.
Whoa.
And I don't really know what your while
my brain is. Whoa.
But you, let me just to bring everybody behind the bit. Rudy told me during the break, he offered the example of always thinking it was worth your while before realizing it was worth your wild.
I don't even remember how I learned or thought that I
Either
learned
way,
that it's worth your while.
I don't know. I almost responded to clarify with you, and then I had to just look away so I could make sure we could have this moment on the radio. Because what you've, Rudy, you've given me, Rudy, you've given me such a gift.
Oh, boy.
You've given me such a gift, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Which was to have this moment, but like with extra layers on the radio, no less.
My brain is, I feel like my soul is just up here.
Yeah.
Not even really my soul, I guess.
Floating above your body.
And I'm just like, it's a...
You're astrally projecting.
Yeah, astrally projecting. That's... I'm in the astral plane.
Or
as
you...
That's where I wanted to be.
Or as you might say, you're actually projecting.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Oh, I just... I love idioms. And...
Bizarro 99 says, in high school, he used to say, for all intensive purposes.
That one is a... That's a huge one. I also... Chaotic Warrior said, thank you, Josh. Jesus, I was so worried we were going to keep letting that go. I just had I had to invite you in to make sure you were there was basically entrapment.
Yes.
It was entrapment.
Yes. Yeah.
It was me going like, are you sure you don't want to buy some drugs? I've got such good drugs.
I cannot be charged for any crime because of entrapment.
That's right.
Now, the problem is I do not have a good lawyer, so I am still going to jail because I do not realize this, but if I had one... Boom.
If you go to Seth and say, Josh was a jerk to me, can you help me get out of this?
Great point.
He's got you,
free
dude.
Free of charge.
He's absolutely got you. Yeah, pro bono, no question.
Not only is it free of charge, but he has gifted me a subscription to a Substack.
He's got you pro bono. Professional Bono, the singer from U2. That's what that stands for, right? That's what pro bono is short for Professional Bono, the singer of U2.
And Seth, it would be a great pro bono. I was like, wait a second, is it Bono or Bono?
I'm Googling misheard
Bono
idioms right now.
Bono is the singer of U2, right? Of YouTube?
Yeah. Bono sings for YouTube. So I'm now on a Medium article called 22 Misused Idioms That Make You Sound Like an Idiot.
Oh, boy.
I bet we're going to find at least one out of here where we learn something.
Probably.
Is my guess.
I got 2 minutes.
A blessing in the skies versus a blessing in disguise.
It's supposed to be blessing in disguise.
Correct? Yeah, but I kind of like a blessing like from the sky, but that's not right. Nip it in the bud. It's like a flower bud, you know, right?
This is one. So like it is nip it in the bud, correct?
With a D, correct.
Yeah, but like this is another one. I bet for the longest time, I don't know when, but I thought it was nip it in the bud, you know, for a significant amount of time.
Because it could be, you know, a small dog bite in the rear.
Yeah.
No, it's the plant.
Yeah.
This is one that I think I would have gotten wrong recently. Deep-seated versus deep-seated. S-E-E-D versus S-E-A-T. Because it seems like, you know, it's dug in. It's maybe it's seated deeply, but it's actually deep-seated.
Oh, okay.
So it's like hard to get out of a chair, I guess.
Then I just learned this because I would have guessed it was deep-seated. Like buried in your mind, essentially.
I definitely could have gotten that one. I probably would have gotten that one wrong also. Could care less versus couldn't care less. This one's bothered me for a long time. If you could care less, you fundamentally could care more. Therefore, you do not care as little as you're saying.
That's one that I know what's right, but I will say what's wrong occasionally, because like, especially if you're just like with tragedy, it just happens.
One in the same versus one and the same. You say it quickly enough, it sounds pretty much the same. It sounds like one and the same. But you want to say that thing that I guess are one and the same. I would have said in the same. I'd have gotten that one wrong.
I knew it was and, but like I that one I understand because you're saying it so quickly.
This is we'll may cover some of these tomorrow if we have the time. But how about statue of limitations?
Because it's statute, right?
Statute. It is a legal statute. But I like...
That one I can understand.
I like the statue of limitations.
Which is right next to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, absolutely. The Statute of Liberty. Yeah. That's what's on... The Statute of Liberty is on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty. The Statute of Limitations actually has to fight the Statute of Liberty to the death. They're feuding. All right, thanks to everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Bye, Mom!